talking about making mom friends. Now, I know that sounds like a really silly topic, but I have had several requests for it. And I'm not talking about friends online, because we all have friends online. But they are, and they might be your besties, but they are not like, hey, can you come over and watch my kids? They're not like that. And I've been working with a couple of ladies who have had some issues with their in real life friends. And so I thought maybe I would bring up some of those things. Good morning, Mom. My mom's on Instagram. I thought I would bring up some of those things, and I thought I would sort of talk about what has worked for me and sort of help you, hopefully, get out of your shell or not in the space of not even wanting to try. Because you know what? It can be exhausting to put yourself out there. I will say that temperament has a lot to do with it. So while I am choleric and sanguine, I'm actually... I can't remember. My Myers-Briggs is actually introvert by like 52%, not a lot. So I enjoy being with people, but I have to really recharge afterwards and really like take that in. And I will say that that may have gotten that way since my stroke 5 years ago. But I think it's probably always been under the surface a bit. It's about actually owning who you are and being okay with who you are. So what I will say to you, if you are struggling in this mom friend department, is one, you have to decide that you show up authentically, regardless. If you are striving to eat organically, but your kids still eat M&Ms every now and again, you got to be that mom. You got to show up and you have to say that. You can't pretend that you're not. Because pretending that you're not really just sort of, well, one, it will make you forget sometimes, and it won't let you be comfortable. Like if you forget and go, oh yeah, we just ate the M&Ms that one time. Excuse me. Plus your kids will out you every time. So don't do it. Show up authentically. Be who you are. If you eat Goldfish instead of Annie's, say it. It's not a big deal. And I would say to those of you who do keep really strict diets and keep it from not a necessarily a I need to for allergen place, because that's a completely different place than you're doing it because you're snooty. And I'm not saying that everybody that does that is snooty. I'm just saying that if you are, be okay with friends that aren't and congratulate them for being authentic. Because there's nothing that feels worse than to be the person that is being authentic and to be around people that aren't. So when you get together with other moms, you've got to be authentic in how you show up. So when you have a gathering, whether it be a co-op or, you know, whether it be just a mom gathering, or even if your kids go to school and you've got the PTA thing or, you know, any kind of parent board, be authentic in how you show up. So if you prefer now, and I get it, we are a mostly organic eating family. I look at produce. This is just me. This is Melissa and Eric. This is what we do. I look at produce. I'm always looking to find organic produce. And that varies. Bananas don't stress me out so bad. They got a thick skin. Apples, I really would like organic apples if I can find them. But am I going to tell my child you can't eat that? No. However, I have a dear friend, who their child is allergic to the pesticides that are put on apples. And so she has to be really careful. So if you are a person that has to for health reasons, then you've got to say, and she did. She was part of our co-op for a long time. She said, I just can't do an organic apple. So I don't care if you do. Just let me know, because I want to make sure that my kids don't get into it, because they had a real reaction. So if you are the mom that is acting that way just to look down your nose at people, check yourself, Mom. Check yourself. It's not cool. If you are the mom that is showing up and you are just struggling because you're trying to feed your children really well and you keep having things, or you feel like things are thwarting you, stop looking for reasons to be thwarted. Look for positive things. Look for, amazing other things that you have with friends. And if you don't feel like you can break bread with friends, then just meet at the park and do something else instead. You don't have to eat the same way somebody does just to enjoy their company. I see that become such an issue for people. And I just want to say, we are all in the boat together. The more you segregate yourself, the harder it will be on you. So be in the boat together, have fun together, be authentic. And then I have to tell you, if you are the tattletale mom that wants to turn your friends in for silly things, don't. It hurts you. It hurts you. So, I have worked with some people that have been thinking that they were just being authentic and showing up how they were, and nothing egregious and bad in any of their parenting at all. I know this mom pretty well. And somebody turned her into CPS for silly things and lies. So when you want to show up authentically, you also have to be careful to not overshare with people that are not authentic. There's a great quote that's sitting on my desk. It's so good. It's by Warren Buffett. It says, what does it say? Do not
expect honesty.
Yes, do not expect honesty. Or no, honesty is an expensive gift. This is it. Honesty is an expensive gift. Do not expect it from cheap people. Follow your gut. Do not overshare with people who don't deserve it. Do not overshare with people that you wouldn't spend more time with. Do not overshare with anybody that does not deserve your breath. If it's a park mom, keep it at the park. You'll know the difference. Listen to your gut. Listen to your heart. Listen to the spirit. The spirit will testify to you. And if you're an atheist and you're going to write me and tell me that I'm crazy, then I'm sorry. Just save your fingers typing. It will fall on deaf ears. So just save yourself. But when it comes to like really and truly dialing into who you are authentically, listen to what the spirit has to say. The spirit will tell you, yes, this is a good person, or no, it's not. Stay away. Do not let your child play with them. So what do you do when it's the no, it's not, stay away thing? Guess what? If you just make sure that you're never with that person alone, especially if you're in a schools type setting where you have to be with somebody, or if you're in a co-op type setting where you have to be with somebody, don't let your child be in a spot where they're not safe. So you want to listen to that inner voice. That inner voice is so, so, so important. It is so important, and we ignore it all the time. Now, I'm going to say there's a difference between the inner voice that says, whoa, slow down, this is scary, and the one that tells you to stop doing something because it wants to protect you and make you procrastinate. There are two different inner voices. So one is your protection part of your brain, and the other one is the spirit. You have to get really good at figuring out which one is which. So there is this part of our brain that wants to protect us from anything uncomfortable, protect us. So it gives us anxiety when we go into social situations. That is not the same as the spirit saying, hey, don't do that. So you have to get really good at listening to both and hearing what both have to say. And when it's the anxiety part of your brain, you need to go, listen, dude, take a hike because I need to make some friends. If it's the spirit, go, oh, okay, that's what I'm feeling. I need to just back away. So what do you do when you're in social settings with people that that are maybe not showing up authentic? I would say sometimes people show up inauthentically. Inauthentic, is that a word? Inauthentic. Not being authentic. Let's just say that. I keep inventing words. And
or unauthentic.
Unauthentic. And then I feel like our 22-year-old son, who I love dearly, because he makes up words all the time. if you are showing up authentically and you're in a group and you see somebody that is showing up not authentically, most people that show up and they're not being authentic, it's a protection mechanism. It's because they don't feel comfortable. It's because they feel like they have something to prove. So help that mom know that she doesn't. Help that mom know that she doesn't have anything to prove, that she can trust you, that you are trustworthy, that you make mistakes, or that you've been on this ride too, or that you've sorted things out. Be authentic yourself and allow yourself then to open to this other mom. She will probably figure it out or leave. So, anytime you come into a new social setting, we have, like I said, we have this big co-op, and I love all of the moms in our co-op. Love them all. Love them, love them, love them. And we are, we're growing. So we have new moms that are coming on a fairly regular basis. We have a group of moms coming every month. And you can always tell the ones that are struggling more with social anxiety at first, because they do sort of show up and they're not, you know, they're trying to sort it out and they're making sure they bring the right thing for co-op potluck. And they're, you know, they're a little stressed out about that. That's normal. That's normal. That's what everybody is like that at first. So then when you've been a couple of times, you want to make sure that you're sort of chilling out. But when we have those moms in our co-op as a leader, and we see that they're not relaxing, then my co-leader and I try to take a vested interest in that person and helping them relax. Because we have in our co-op there, we run the spectrum. There are right now, there's, I think, 18 families. We're actually about to add three more. And, about 40 kids. And in that, we have moms that are super, super strict on the diet end of the spectrum, like, because they have to be. We have moms that have major, major allergies to things I didn't even know you could be allergic to. And then we have moms that are more relaxed, which is probably, I would say, we're more relaxed, but we're not like, let it all hang out. We're not like, let's go to Jack in the Box, mom, relax. No. Definitely not. But we have this full spectrum and we all love and support one another. And we are all comfortable enough to say, hey, that doesn't work for me. Or we're not doing eggs right now. Or we don't eat meat. Or, and guess what? It's all done in a place of love and nobody's looking down their nose at somebody who does. So we have moms that we have a mom that's Hare Krishna. And so her dietary stuff is way different. And then we have a Jewish mom. Her dietary stuff is way different. So we are trying to help those moms show up authentically for themselves by allowing them that space to do that. So if you are in a situation where you are really struggling to be authentic, you have to ask yourself why. Step back and go, what am I so afraid of? Am I so afraid that everybody's going to find out that I'm not as Waldorf as they think I am? Guess what? There's no such thing. Just quit. There's no such thing. Get over it. There's no such thing. You are as Waldorf as you need to be for right now. And guess what? You're learning. So as long as you're committed to learning, just keep going. Do you have a question over there?
Oh, Rhiannon says, I keep setting up play dates or visits, and there always seems to be boundary issues where the parents want to talk or chat, but I can't see my kids or they're somewhere else.
Right.
Like outside or a basement, I try to stay around the area, hold the space, etc. But it doesn't seem to be important to other mamas. I find this challenge.
Yes. So I will actually say when we moved to Utah from Idaho, we got together with some local Waldorf moms there. And that started where they wanted to. Do you remember that day, Daddy? We went to that park. And you guys, because you were with us. So we went to this park and there were a couple other moms there. There were, I think, three other moms there. And there were probably 10 kids total. And we were at a playground setting. So that's the first thing I would say, Rhiannon, meet at a park. And I'm not sure what the weather is like for you right now, but try to meet in a public space, in a space, especially when you're getting to know somebody. Don't invite them into your home until you know them. Nobody gets to cross the threshold of my house unless I invite them in that I don't know very well.
Kids can be territorial.
Yes, kids can be very territorial, and you really want to keep your space sacred. So I do not allow, and I don't go to somebody else's house generally that I don't know pretty well. So this is what happened in this situation. We're at the park, and they wanted to meet with me, and we had just moved there. We had only been there. Oh, it was still warm outside. So we moved there in September. So it was probably, it hadn't snowed yet. It was not, now when I say warm, it was probably in the 50s. So we were all bundled up still and, heavy sweaters, but we went to the park because there wasn't any snow on the ground and it hadn't been raining. And there were some moms that really wanted to engage me. Imagine that. I'm just teasing. That happens a lot and it's all good. But this is what you say. I need to hold the space with my child. So I'm going to stand over here with my child so I can at least see them. You are welcome to come with me. That sets the precedent right there. You're welcome to come with me. The other thing I would say is, I really want to have this conversation with you, but it's a pretty adult conversation. I'm not really comfortable having it around my kids. Do you want to call me later? And then you have to be really careful too, because you're kind of cutting them off at the knees. You want to make sure that you then move the conversation along with something pleasant and something light and something, because they will follow your lead and they may never call you for a play date again. And guess what? That's okay. You don't want that person in your inner circle anyway. So when I did that, when I said, hey, you guys, I need to walk over here so I can hold the space for my child, they both were like, oh, and they walked with me. So most parents do not want to admit that they're checking out from their child. So you want to make sure that you can, stand up for yourself and your kids. Be authentic in who you are. And if you are not comfortable with it, which I'm not comfortable with it, when we go to our co-op on Tuesdays, I trust Sam. Sam is 12. He knows the rules. He knows what, we have good, strong family values. He can be where I can't see him, and I'm okay with that. He also knows karate, so I'm okay with that. He's usually with his guy tribe. Soraya, though, I need to know where she's at. So I need to know that there's either another mom watching her so that I can do what I need to do, or I need to be watching her. Or I have to know where she's at. And we have this communication, she and I, most of the time, where she'll tell me, this is where I'm going to go. Is that okay? And I'll say yes or no. I want to be able to see you, or when I call you, you best come. So, you know, that's what I see a lot of. It's a lot of moms that are exhausted and checking out. So if you have those mom friends, send them to me. They need to really get a hold of their lives. And in order to do that, you have to own that you are on the road because you chose it. You have to take responsibility for the story you've been telling yourself about being exhausted, and you have to decide to be an agent. And in order to do that, you have to like be conscious of it. Go ahead.
Oh, Marie Paul Hall asks, what age are you talking about?
For like letting them go to the playground without me?
Yeah.
I'm actually talking about all ages. Like when it comes to holding the space, I want to know where my kids are all the time. And that doesn't mean I'm a helicopter mom. And it doesn't mean I don't trust them. It means that I don't trust the people around them often. And I'm not talking about our co-op moms. Excuse me. I don't know what's going on this morning. It would mean that we're at a park that's a public place and I want to know where they're at all the time. When we are in a home, if it's somebody's home that I know really well, like my co-leader Kimberly, she and I are pretty good friends. I'm okay with my kids but they're usually out playing outside. I'm not okay with kids being in bedrooms with doors shut. Like, even in our own house, doors are always open unless you need to be changing your clothes. And when we had little ones that needed to separate from big ones because, you know, they were too little and getting into things, a baby gate is a great invention. So we put the baby gate up. Or if the door shut intermittently, maybe 30 minutes at a time, and somebody's always checking on them. I want to set children up to succeed, not to fail. And you know how your child will act. You do not know how the other child will act. Even though you are good friends, you can be best friends with somebody. You do not know what goes on inside their home unless you live there. So you want to be sure that you're always in a place where you feel comfortable and confident about what's going on. So again, if you're going to be at somebody's house rather than in an open setting, then my rule is doors stay open. And, oh, but the boys are bothering us. Sorry. Hey, boys, quit bothering them. This be done. Don't feed into it. It doesn't take as many words as we think it does.
Marie, asked about the ages. She mm-hmm. says, so in a co-op setting that is more private, the 10 to 12-year-olds need an adult around.
So in our co-op, we have the 9-pluses in a group. And they're with an adult for their class. When they break for lunch and they're on their own, we have a gaggle of boys. Gaggle, is that the right word?
Uh-huh.
They're a pack. They're not a gang. But there's a gaggle of boys that are, I know there's a gaggle of geese, so I was trying to think, it's like a gaggle of boys. Anyway, so they are probably 11 and up, and I just let them be. I let them be because they all know They all know what I expect, and they all know what's okay at co-op. One of the things that we talk about in our co-op is that it is not okay. We don't have media discussions there. However, I will let the bigger kids have, because somebody's going to talk about Batman, and there's no way they're going to talk. There's no way they're going to talk about gnomes and fairies when they're 12. You just have to let go. And so I just go, all right, but you have to have that conversation away from the little kids. So, you know, I like to keep my eye on and know where they are going. And they always tell me where they're going. Marie, if you're listening, they always tell me where they're going. So I know I can go, all right, I know they're all the way over there on the other side of the field. And one of them's always going to watch. So I might say, I need y'all to be back here in 20 minutes. But you know, that's,
she says, so playtime after co-op.
Yeah, we do a playtime after co-op, but our co-op meets at 10 and, our playtime starts at 1:30. So they actually, if they want to quickly eat their lunch, which our lunch time is 40 minutes, if they want to quickly eat their lunch, then they have some time to socialize. They usually socialize during their lunch while they're eating, and then they have some hangout time after and, before we go home. Or they can get there early. If they have a burning Batman discussion to have, they can get there early.
And this is from earlier. Rhiannon talks about meeting at people's homes. And she says, this is interesting. I never did parks because I always have a preschooler, toddler, and usually a baby. So parks stress me out. I'm always choosing homes. Now I see that I'm creating a problem.
Yeah, it does create a problem. Now, I will say, put a baby in a sling on your back. And stick with your preschooler. That's how you say that when moms are trying to engage you in conversation, just say, that's cool. I need to follow, you know, he likes to climb on everything. So I'm just going to follow him around. You're welcome to follow me too and talk while I'm following him, but I'm going to be following him around. So the park is, the play date and the park is about the child. If you want to get to know the mom without the children, which I think is okay, maybe around the second time or before you meet with the kids, you don't want to get attached to a mom that your kids don't like each other. And I'm saying, okay, kids don't like each other. That means like they're just not good together. And we have had situations like that. We don't have any like that right now. But I will say that, you know, like Soraya and my co-leader's son, they're probably going to end up getting married someday. They fight like an old married couple. And so that's not what I don't consider that not getting along. Just consider that both of their temperaments rubbing up against each other. So, but if you've got situations where kids just don't bring out the best in each other, which happens, it happens. You kind of want to know that in the front so that you can go, you know what, that's all right, but we have something else we're doing today. And instead of then fostering that. But if you want to have mom time, then get up on Saturday morning and go to breakfast, just the two of you. Get to know each other outside of your kids. You know, text one another or talk on the phone. Trying to use a park or even an at-home play date as a way to get to know each other is a hard thing. Something will suffer. Either your relationship with the children and being able to know where they're at will suffer, or with this mom. Now, I will say that as they get older, you know, you can have a little more leniency. But when you've got little ones in the mix, don't ever sacrifice what you're feeling good about just to make friends with somebody. It doesn't ever turn out well, ever. Anything else over there?
Nope.
Okay, everybody. I think we're done.